Rita, the opening part, much appreciated. And let me add my own words of welcome to those who have come. Good to see you. Good to see our young people who have taken part. And thank you for ministering in song. And those that haven't been out for a wee while that have been mentioned this morning and also this afternoon, and adding to that, our brother Nat, we want to give you a very warm welcome. Visiting Nat this week, and he said he hoped to get out to the mission, and he did. And it's good to see that. We're really encouraged by it. We're turning to 2 Samuel chapter 19. We are encouraging God's people to pray for the mission, to pray at home, to pray at every available opportunity. If you are standing at the kitchen sink, you can lift your heart to the Lord and you can say, Lord, bless the mission, bring people in, save souls. If you're driving in your car, you can do the same. Only we want to heed that little text, watch and pray when you're driving. Keep your eyes open, but you can pray just where you are and ask the Lord to bless these meetings. Monday to Friday, 8 o'clock, with the prayer times beforehand. You can come and join us in prayer. We'll be delighted to see you at 7:30. My noisy granddaughter. Just leaving us. It's good to have a mission where we have all ages. We have very young and we have the older. Well, they say the very old, but I wouldn't want to offend anybody that feels that way today or looks that way. It might be very possible. But we have all ages here and everyone's very, very welcome. I'm going to read a passage of scripture that tells us about an old man. If you're 80 years of age in this meeting or over, please don't be offended if we call you old. Barzillai, the man that we're going to read about, he said he's old, and that's the age he was. And if you get to 80, you have to say it's been a good life, a long life, that the Lord has blessed you with. And there are some who get beyond it, they get to 90, and we've known a few that have got to 100. And we've had the opportunity, the privilege to meet with them and spend a little time with them. All those many, many years, they've seen great changes, undoubtedly, in this world. You might look your age. That's probably a good thing if you look younger. We were with our grandchildren yesterday, and Nanny, she said to Jake, "What age am I? What age do I look?" And Jake was very kind. He said, 35. She had her first baby when she was 4. If that was the case. But that's not the case. Time moves on for us all, and I don't count myself to be an old person, but I have lived over half of my life. I might die tomorrow. That means I've lived my full life. But potentially, if we live to 70, whatever, I've lived over well over half of my life. And we're going to learn some things today from Barzillai and the question that he asked. And I'm going to read from verse 31. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. This is 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 32. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. And he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Machanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, "Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem." And Barzillai said unto the king, "How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can my servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. We'll end the reading there at verse 39. May the Lord make it a blessing to us. We always like to pray before we preach, and we'll just bow together for a moment, please, and seek the Lord together. Our eternal God and Father, we take this moment to still our hearts before the presence of our God, rejoicing that the Lord is here. You've gathered this people together. We've had our time of singing the hymns. We've listened to the young people ministering in song. And we've come now to the word of the living God. We thank thee for the power that's invested in this book. We praise thee that this book is not like an ordinary book. It is the book that God has given. And not only given, but the book that God has compiled. And by inspiration, he moved men of God in ancient times to write down his words. And therefore, we have the record that God wants us to have. All the history, all the prophecy, all the doctrine, all the facts that we need to know is here. And Lord, you've revealed yourself in this book. And you've shown to us ourselves, what we need to know regarding ourselves in relationship to God. And we praise thee that thou hast also revealed to us the Saviour and the remedy for our sin, for we are sinners, we are fallen creatures in this world. We thank you that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we pray that you'll be at that work during the mission. Thank you for what you've done in hearts already. Speak on now, bless us as we come to the Scriptures, open our hearts to your word. And we pray that signs will follow the preaching, that sinners will come to trust thee as their Saviour. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. But a very simple text that I want to leave with you this afternoon is a text actually that the Lord put in my heart probably a week ago as I was thinking about today. And I believe this is the word. And very strangely, my wife was actually reading this chapter this morning. So things were coming together, and I was reminded, even as she told me that, that we are in the right way of thinking as we come to this meeting. It's the question that Barzillai of old asked, how long have I to live? It's here in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 34. Barzillai was one of King David's trusted friends and supporters in a time of adversity. When so many had forsaken their allegiance to the king and followed after Absalom, Barzillai remained true and faithful. He was kindly disposed towards David in his time of distress. Now, if Absalom had prevailed in the battle and won, no doubt Barzillai would have suffered for his loyalty to David. But he had this great respect for the king, and he minded not the cost. He showed David hospitality, sending him and his army food and other necessities while David was a fugitive during Absalom's rebellion. After the victory, Barzillai escorted David over the River Jordan, and he was invited to become a member of the king's court and return to the city of Jerusalem and spend the rest of his days with the king. David says, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. David wanted to return the kindness to Barzillai, because Barzillai had been so generous to him in his time of need. He wanted to reward him. He didn't take his service for granted, the sacrifices that he had made, the danger that he had faced, and he wanted the pleasure of his company, and undoubtedly the benefit of his counsel, for we suppose that Barzillai was a very wise man, very great man. But this man who had been so helpful and so generous to David in his time of need, he declined the offer. And he excused himself, and he put it down really to his age. We read those words from verse 34, where he asks the question, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? Then he makes these statements in verse 35, I am this day 80 years old. In other words, he was 80 years of age. And can I discern between good and evil? Can my servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? I'm not saying that happens to everyone that becomes 80. But it was the experience of Barzillai. And you can see from what he's saying here, he's feeling his years, he's feeling his age. And he's saying here in this verse of scripture, my judgment is not what it used to be. Can I properly discern between good and evil? And he's saying, my taste is not what it used to be. I can't just taste the same. Maybe that's happened to you, some of you that are older. And you see how he says, I can't hear the way that I used to. I'm sure that hasn't happened to you, but I know some people that get a bit older and their hearing's just not the same. And Barzillai, I say, well, I'm not able to enjoy the singing of the choirs, of the men and women any longer. And to go back to Jerusalem, I wouldn't really enjoy the journey. I wouldn't really enjoy my days back at the city. Now, he would be happy to be near the king, but he felt he was too old to move house. Too old to uproot his family and his native ties to go to Jerusalem. He felt unfit for the business of the court, and perhaps he felt he was going to be a burden to David rather than a help. There's so many things that we could note about Barzillai. As you read this little part of the history, he was a faithful man. He had been faithful to David. He was a liberal man. In verse 32, we learn how he had sustained David and his army during that time of trial. And he was also a great man. The same verse tells us that he was a very great man. He was a favourite man. In verse 33, come thou over with me, David says, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And David was inviting him back to the palace to look after him. What a favour was being bestowed upon him. He was a loving man. I thought about that when I read verse 37, because he had a mother and father that were buried back in his home place. And he wanted to be buried beside them. And so we can certainly say he was a loving man. He had great respect for his parents. And he says, when I die, that's where I want to be buried. And he was a blessed man. In verse 39, the scripture tells us David blessed him. And of course, in our text, we can see he's a wise man. Because he's asking a question of great importance. How long have I to live? He was thinking about the time when he must die. The time of his departure from this life. He knew that his days were numbered in many respects. His time was short. And now he's feeling his years and he's saying, I haven't got long to go. Barzillai is thinking about that long journey. That journey that he's going to take. His removal out of the world. Talk of going to the court, says Barzillai. Not so. Let me go home. And let me die in my city. The grave is ready for me. Let me go and get ready for the grave. You know, it's a wise thing to consider the day of our departure. The day in which we must die. I'm not saying that we are to be of that morbid persuasion and every day we're thinking about death, but it's a wise thing to consider at the times, especially in the light of eternity. There was another old man, and he wrote one of the Psalms. I think there's two Psalms written by him. His name is Moses. And he wrote the 90th Psalm, and as he was speaking there about the brevity of life and the certainty of death, he had a prayer in his heart, a prayer that left his lips to. And this is what he said, Lord, teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. And so I'm saying to you, it's a good thing to think about death, to remember that we're going to die, to remember that we have just a little life here upon the earth, it'll soon be over. James in the New Testament describes it as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away. And the question of Barzillai is an inquiry that all of us should make. We should ask this today. How long have I to live? Barzillai is thinking about an appointment that he must keep with his Maker. And I want to think about that appointment today, the great appointment that we all must keep. We can certainly say that it is a sure appointment. So this is something you can't deny. Barzillai had no doubt whatsoever that there was a day, it was marked out there, sometime in the future, when he would leave this life. And he couldn't deny it. He realized there was coming a moment when his body would give up the ghost. That's what death is. You might be able to describe death in so many ways. We have people from the medical world here, some that are in the medical profession. And of course, you'll be able to put a medical term on death and tell us when death happens or when science tells us that death happens. But in reality, death happens when the soul leaves the body. It's that separation of the body and the soul when we come to theological terms. It's unavoidable. Now, he may have been a faithful man, and he was, and he may have been a liberal man who helped David, and he was, and he may have been a very great man, and that is true because the scripture tells us so, and he may have been a favored man, a loving man, a blessed man, and a wise man, but it's not going to stop you dying. You're going to die. How long have I to live? And that's certainly indicating that there's a day for him to die. And there's not a man here, or a woman, or a young person who can deny this reality. It is something that you and I must face. The time is fixed. It's already fixed. Nothing we can do about that. The patriarch Job said, I know that thou wilt bring me to death. And perhaps out of all the writers of the Bible, no one spoke more clearly on this subject than the man that we just mentioned, Job, and the things that he said, and those conversations that he had with his friends, and even before that, of chapter 1, when you come to the end of that chapter, if you're familiar with that book of the Bible, you will know that Job has sustained so many losses in his life, one after the other, all happening in the same day, and the last one that's mentioned in chapter 1 is the death of his children. A freak accident, you might say. And 10 of his children died in that accident. And Job, being the man of God that he was, he says, naked I came into the world, and naked shall I go out of this world. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And as you begin to read the writings of Job and the conversations that took place, you will see that there were many times in the life of Job where he spoke about death. In fact, he longed for his own death because of all the misery that he had endured, and now his health is broken. He's a broken man when it comes to his body. He wishes to die. He longs for death. I want the Lord to come and take me. Some people feel like that at times, whenever everything seems to be against them, and maybe when they're broken in health. I want the Lord just to come and take my life away. That's how the patriarch felt. And then he goes on to speak about the brevity of life and the certainty of death. He talks about that appointed time, the bounds of his habitation. Talks about man dying and giving up the ghost. Over and over again, Job speaks about this reality. See, my friends, the Bible makes it plain that such a day will overtake every child of Adam. And we're all children of Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, that one man being Adam, sin came into the world, death by sin, wherefore death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's appointed unto men once to die. And so it's time to come out of your hiding place. Maybe you're hiding from this reality. And you don't want to think about that moment when you must die. Well, my friends, let me remind you, you're not going to live forever. It might be an awful thought, but it's a reality. When it comes to this all, there's no escaping. It's a sure appointment. I think as far as this man is concerned, and for many others, it's a soon appointment. Barzillai was 80 years old. Now, you might be 80, you might live to 90, you might live until you're over 100. What 80 is? A good age, as I said earlier. I think many of you know what age I am. I don't think I'm that old. But if I was sitting in the seat of some of these young people, they would say, he's very old. All right, because whenever I was a child, whenever I was a teenager, anybody who was 50 was ancient. And that's true. That's just the way young people think. But this man is 80 years of age. The flame of his life had burned low to the ground. He realized that it was only a flicker and it would soon go out. And he's saying here, my race is run. My life is coming to a conclusion. Barzillai had the sense to know that he was going to die, and as far as he was concerned, it was going to be soon. Even the oldest man gives himself a little bit longer. Isn't that right? When a man gets to 70 or to 80 years of age, he still hugs on to life with that same tenacity, as if life had just begun. Barzillai knew better. He was wise. Life is brief. It's brief for us all. Singing in the hymn earlier, life at best is very brief. Whatever you count to be best, whether it is all the enjoyments that you can get out of life or whether it's long days in this life, life at best is very brief. And soon, maybe sooner than we imagine, we shall go the way of all flesh. We shall enter in through that portal. If you want to know how short life is, you ponder the statement that Moses wrote in that 90th Psalm. He says, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. In other words, 70 years. Maybe through strength of the health that you enjoy in your body, you'll get to 80 years. But you consider that carefully. The answer to Barzillai's question, nobody knows. How long have I lived? I don't know that. How long have you to live? You don't know that either. There was a man in the scripture, and he was much older than Barzillai. He made this statement, I know not the day of my death. His name was Isaac. And Isaac was feeling his years also, though he lived for many more. But he was going blind. He couldn't see the way he used to see. And he felt, I'm going to die soon. So he called, you know the story, he called for Esau. He wanted Esau to make him almost what seemed to be a final feast, another meal. And then he said, Esau, I will bless you. You are my firstborn. I will give you the blessing that you will inherit because you are the firstborn of my family. And then I'll die. I'll die a happy man, for I've done all that I ought to do. But in the midst of that story, he said, I know not the day of my death. I don't know when. And that's true of us all. Barzillai knew that it was soon for him. It was near at hand. Not many more days, he was living on what we call borrowed time. He would shortly take his journey, but at least he was aware of that. He knew that. He faced up to it. And you know, older people ought to face up to the reality that one day soon, they must leave this scene of time. Or those who are broken in health, and maybe the diagnosis is not good, and the doctor has given the information, and so often is the case, that there's a disease in your body and it's going to take your life. And it's going to take it in the matter of weeks or months. They need to face up to the reality that soon I must leave this scene of time. And young people, you've got to understand this also. You might say, well, I'm not 70, I'm not 80, I'm not that old, and I've all my life before me, but you don't know that. And I say to our young people kindly, it could be soon for you. I think we were all struck by the terrible accident that took place yesterday on the M5 when a lorry careered over the reservation in the centre of the motorway and plowed into two cars in particular, and four people were killed instantly. And there's two adults and a child in hospital critically ill. You see, young people, we know not the day when we will leave this scene of time. We can't measure the distance between us and the tomb. It's a step. You remember David, he called it a step. There was a time in his life when he felt his life was in danger because of what King Saul was trying to do to take away his life. And this is what he said to his friend. He says, there is but a step between me and death. Just a step. And we don't know whether that's a short step or a long step,
But it's a step that we're going to take someday. Now, it may be years. I trust that you will live for many years. But it may be months or weeks or days or hours. We don't know that. Maybe even minutes away. It's a soon appointment. It's a sad appointment. Barzillai was contemplating leaving this life. He had family. He had friends. He had servants that he loved dearly. In fact, he tells David to take his son Chimham back to Jerusalem instead of him. Take my son. Let him enjoy life at the city. No one likes to leave this earth. No one likes to die, or at least the experience of death. Job wished for death because of the sore trial that he was in, but generally speaking, nobody likes to die, not even the Christian. And yet it's better, the scripture tells us. It's gain. There's something better for the Christian to die. What could be better than going to heaven, leaving this earth and stepping into glory? But there's no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. All those things are gone forever. But we don't always think that way. And yet the apostle was able to write such words in the New Testament when he was writing to the church at Philippi. And he was thinking about that inevitable day for him in Philippians chapter 1. He says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not, or I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." You see what he's saying when he's writing to this church? I would rather go to be with my Lord and my Savior. I want to go to heaven. That's my desire. It's far better to go there. But it's better for me to remain at this point in time for your benefit. For Paul still had a ministry and he still had a work to do among the churches of his day. To go to heaven, to be with the Lord, to reunite with family and friends that have gone on before, to meet the saints that lived long ago. Surely these are wonderful things. How happy an event that will be. And yet even the Christian, let alone the unsaved, does not relish death. It's an enemy. The last enemy, says Paul. And it is an enemy to face. How long have I to live? Because you see, when that day comes, the day of my death, it will bring sadness. Sadness for the Christian as we leave behind the work that God has called us to do, the opportunities, the prayer meetings, the fellowship of God's people. Of course, we'll be with the Lord, which is better. Sadness for all to bid farewell to the nearest and dearest on earth. You can just imagine, and you've probably been there, the deathbed scene when loved ones are departing and they're leaving this life. A very sad time when they say farewell and they say goodbye. You think about last meeting or the last conversation that we have, the last words that they speak, they're very precious. But it's a sad time, a sad appointment. And then finally, it's a solemn appointment. It's a solemn appointment because it means eternity. You realize that? When you come to the moment of death, it's eternity. Death means eternity. It means standing before God. It means the judgment. It means our final destiny. And that's all right if you're a Christian. You're a child of God in this meeting. You're thinking, how long have I to live? I'm going to die someday. When that day arrives, it will be, as the scripture says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're going to be with Christ. We're going to glory. We're going to the better land. We're going to the city that has foundations, as Abraham described it and looked and longed for it, whose builder and maker is God. We're going to the Father's house. A description used by our Savior, where all is peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore, what a day, glorious day that will be when we go to be with the Lord. But if you're not converted, it's a different story. What shall their end be? In fact, the scripture asks that question, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? It means to be without Christ. And to be without Christ means utter darkness. We looked at that. Remember, you were here last week. The place of outer darkness. It means the place of weeping. Gnashing of teeth. It means everlasting punishment. That's how the scripture describes it. Or that awful place called hell, where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. To die without Jesus Christ is to die without mercy. It is to die without forgiveness. It is to die without hope. And it means at that point of death you will descend into the darkness of a lost eternity, where you will be forever. That's why we're saying this afternoon, it's a wise thing to ask this question. How long have I to live? And Barzillai, I really was saying, I want to go back to my home. The grave is ready for me, and I'll go and get ready for the grave. I wonder, are you ready for the grave? Are you ready for the departure? Do you know Christ as your Savior? This is what the mission is about. It is a presentation of the one who was able to save your soul from sin, to save your soul from death, to save your soul from hell. It is to tell you that there's one who came into this world, and what the Bible says, the fullness of time. And he lived in this life perfectly and righteously on our behalf. Went to the cross, and there he laid down his life in a sacrificial offering for our sin. Something that was planned from all eternity, that Jesus would die, that he would pay the price for our sin, he would be punished for our sin, so that you and I, through faith in him, what Christ has done for us, might have everlasting life. It is the message of the gospel, it's the message of good news. The good news is you don't need to die in your sin. A door has been opened to you, opened by Christ, whereby you can be saved. How long have I to live? In the light of that question, preparation needs to be made. And if you haven't prepared, may you prepare today. How do I prepare? By coming to Christ. How do I come to Christ? I come to him by faith. How do I do that? I do it in prayer. I simply bow before him and I say, Lord Jesus, I realize that I am a sinner. I realize that what I deserve for my sin is death eternal. I realize that I can do nothing to save myself, but I thank you that Jesus came into the world and he did everything that needed to be done. And there upon the cross he took my place and he bore my punishment. And Lord, I come in faith today and I receive you as my Savior. Come into my life, come into my heart, forgive me for my sin. And if you pray that prayer, he will. He'll be merciful, he'll pardon you, and you'll go home today justified. Let us bow together in prayer. We know the Lord has been speaking in our meetings through the mission. We're very thankful for that. That we're still living in that day of opportunity and grace when God speaks. The Lord has not left us to our final end, but in his love and mercy, he gives us opportunities to hear the word. And in the hearing of the word, we know that individuals have been touched by the Lord. The Spirit of God has been working. And there has been conviction in these meetings. And there has been conversion. And it is our prayer that you'll come to know Christ today. If you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you know that. I don't need to tell you that. You can be before you leave this service. You can enter in through Christ, the open door. I can't save you. There's nobody here who can. The church can't save you. There's no church that can. But thank God, Jesus Christ is able to save you. And he's able to save you now if you come to him. We're here to help you. We can help you after this meeting. Please don't rush away. We're in no hurry. Come and speak with us. If the Lord has troubled your heart and you would love to be saved, come and speak with us after.